Our second installment on the love series. We're going through 1 Corinthians 13, trying to identify the various aspects of love and defining them. Let me read 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Now when you think of a kind person, Who comes to mind, whether fiction or real life? We would all agree that certainly Jesus was kind, but other than Jesus, who else comes to mind? Even though it's a parable, Good Samaritan was kind to the injured man. Now, there's much being said today in the news and on social media about Fred Rogers. He certainly exemplified kindness on his kids' TV show. But from what you read, he did so in real life all the time. One of the kindest men that ever lived, perhaps. Now, is kindness just being nice, or is there more to it? Does motive enter into it? For instance, if I'm nice to someone in order to gain or incline them to me, or to my idea, or to my demand, am I being kind, or am I actually being manipulative? Does any sort of reciprocity negate genuine kindness? How does Psalm 141:5 fit into our understanding of kindness? Listen to this. Let a righteous man strike me. It's a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It's oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. Huh? Thought about that for kindness? Kindness is not just being nice and pleasant. It may at times include very difficult things. So let's look into it a bit. Trying to define it, there's all sorts of things have been said, and there's going to be some overlap with what we said last week about love being patient. Patient and kindness aren't opposites by any means. So it's an aspect of love that we discover that here in 1 Corinthians 13. And in order to be kind, we need to exercise patience. So the two definitely work together. So what is kindness? Hendrickson said it's mildness or benignity. Bridges said it's an active desire to meet the needs of others. If you look to the dictionary, you get a whole list of synonyms: benignity, benevolence, humanity, generosity, charity, sympathy, compassion, and tenderness. Okay, just kind of all heaped up in a pile there. Now we've all experienced kindness at the hands of others, and we've expressed kindness to others ourselves. But here again, I think he's speaking, like patience last week, I think he's speaking of something beyond just common human kindness. This is extraordinary kindness that comes from the work of the Spirit in us. We believers should be demonstrating this in a supernatural way. Should be the passion of our hearts to be kind. And we see kindness in biblical accounts all over the place. Abraham showed kindness to the three visitors that came to us. He put out food and he put them up for the time that they were there. David sparing Saul's life in the cave. He was kind to him. You could compile quite a list just reading the accounts of Elijah and Elisha, of the kindnesses that they did toward people of their day. Xerxes to the Jews because of Mordecai's intercession. Jesus. I mean, how many acts of kindness and healing and delivering and providing did he do in his short time here on earth? Back in the 70s, Glenn Campbell sang a song entitled "Try a Little Kindness." It was quite popular, as I recall. But Mamie Adams always went to a certain branch of her local post office because she found the people there to be friendly. And she went in to buy stamps before Christmas one year, and the line was really long. And she's standing there in line, and someone came up to her and said, "If you're just getting stamps, you know there's a stamp machine out there in the lobby." And Mamie said, "Yeah, I know, but the stamp machine won't ask about my arthritis." That personal connection of kindness makes a difference. Mamie was willing to stand in line to receive it. You can't get it from a machine. Now, often kindness isn't that hard. Just very simple things that we do. But other times it can be quite demanding. So look for ways to be kind. I've relayed this before, so don't be unkind if you heard this. Some years ago now, I was at Home Depot and I was on my way in, and this guy was there by himself with a pretty big stack of drywall. And I know what a bear that is to load into your truck or your van or whatever, and he was by himself. So I stopped and said, "Would you like a hand with that?" He said, "Sure." So I helped him put it in. It only took a minute or two. And then he said this. He said, "Thank you very much." He said, "You know, no one has ever helped me like that before." I thought, man, how sad is that? But then as I walked away, there was a sense of almost exhilaration. I was delighted that I had the ability to impact that guy's life just for a few minutes on a Saturday morning for good and for kindness' sake. So we need to look for things like that. There are multiple ways we can be kind on almost any day. Well, let's think about it at home. Look around your house, where you live. What can you do to lighten the load of a family member? How can you speak in such a way as to exude kindness in your words? I found this illustration online. I never heard of this guy because I'm not a great literary person. I hope I pronounce his name right. But English playwright and novelist Somerset Maugham. Is that right? Anybody heard of him? Okay, Somerset Maugham. Apparently his mother was extraordinarily beautiful, but she was married to an extraordinarily ugly man. And a family friend once asked her, "You're so beautiful, how come him?" Her reply is quite telling. He said, "He never once hurt my feelings." Kindness. Kindness, way over beauty, kindness. So kindness is the key, really, to that kind of life. Kindness right at home with those that you say you love. Kids, let me talk to you. Think about times right at your house where you could show kindness. What are some things you could do to make life better for everybody else? You could pick this thing up or put that away or go do this, even without being told. Huh? How about that? Do it before they tell you to do it.
Amen.
That would be a good thing, right? Well, you know what's maybe even more important than looking for a little extra task to do, as important as that is? Just simply doing what you're supposed to do. That would be a real kindness. You're told to do something, and you say, sure, and you hop up and you do it, gladly, with a smile on your face even. Huh? Wouldn't that be kind to your mom or dad? Or not grumbling and complaining about it? Have you ever gone off, you've been told to do something and you don't want to, have you ever gone off and stomped your feet as you walked away? Do kids still do that? Huh? I used to, and I know other kids that did. Kindness would say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to talk back. I'm not going to argue. I'm not saying, well, it's so-and-so's turn, not mine. No, just do it. In the whole scheme of your life, if you put the dishes away on Tuesday and it was actually your brother's turn, in that whole scheme of life, does that make any difference? No. You just do it out of kindness to your mom and dad. Now, why should we be kind? Because God has been kind to you first. He sent Jesus to die for all of your unkindness. And then Jesus himself calls us to be kind to one another. Really, really important. You can do it right. You don't have to grow up to do this. You can do this right now, today, right at your own house, and it would make a whole lot of difference in how you live together when you practice kindness. Okay? Well, at church also, we need to keep an eye out for good deeds that we can do for others. Now, it's difficult because we're spread out all over the county, and a couple of our families from other counties even, so it makes it difficult. If we were a neighborhood church, showing our kindness to one another would be easier. You just quick run over and do this for somebody or do that. So, but we can't let that stand as an excuse. We still need to be kind. It needs to be a regular occurrence within the congregation. It needs to be our standard attitude and desire to show kindness to one another. As we read about the early church, even in the midst of all of its problems, they weren't always kind about everything, but that's one of the things we read there in the book of Acts, is the kindness that they showed to one another and providing for one another. They took care of each other. It needs to be the perspective and the action of the church today. The my background of Lancaster County with the Old Order Mennonites and the Amish and everything else, they're not always kind, believe me, but they seriously do show the desire and the ability to take care of one another. The old barn raising kind of thing, that sort of thing, is a kindness that they do for one another. But other churches are doing a pretty good job of showing kindness within the church and to those without. May we be one of them. May we grow in that. Do you ever take notice who's here and who's not on a Sunday morning? Do you ever inquire about those who weren't here, if they're okay? Do you remember to pray for those who are in some sort of difficulty? Do you assist those who are in need or have some difficulty that you can help with? These are questions we need to ask ourselves all the time. What can we do to show kindness to others? Well, then also, it expands out from here to our respective neighborhoods. We probably all need to step up to the plate a little more on this. I know I do. Do you know the needs in your neighborhood? It's so easy in today's world, anyway, for us to kind of curl up into our little cocoon, and the neighborhood is there, but we really have no interaction. So who in your neighborhood is hurting? Who's suffering? Who needs a helping hand? Do you know? Where can you show kindness and be good? It could be as simple as just dragging your neighbor's trash cans in off the street, or as involved as sitting and talking with a lonely invalid on a regular basis. That can eat up hours. But look for opportunities. Be a helper. Be an encourager. And then the general public. This is kind of Good Samaritan stuff. You come upon a problem, and you don't pass by on the other side. You actually stop and help. You look for the elderly and the infirm to see if they need help, or a mom with several kids and her hands are full, and you see if you can help. Whoever might be in need. When I was in fifth grade, I'll probably never forget this. I went into the 5 and 10. Well, for you young folks, a 5 and 10 is the same as a dollar store today. So there's inflation for you, you know, nickel and dime to a dollar. They had all kinds of stuff, and it was all cheap. And I was an avid marbles player. People don't do that much anymore either, but I was pretty good at it. So I went to buy another pack of marbles. And I scraped together a few coins that I had. And I had just enough to the cent. So I go into Newberry's, the 5 and 10, and I got the marbles, went up to check out. I forgot about sales tax. Now, it was only 2 cents, but a 3-cent stamp bought a first-class stamp in those days. So, you know, it's what, the equivalent of 40 cents or something today. So there I was. I was sad. I was embarrassed and perplexed. I didn't know what to do. And a gentleman standing behind me in line reaches up and puts 2 pennies on the counter. It's like, you know, that was kindness. He didn't know me. He didn't owe me anything. He said, oh, 2 cents, no big deal. It was a big deal to me. It made all the difference in the world. Simple kindness. And it was so powerful a kindness. I clearly remember that moment today, well over 60 years later. Let's look for things like that. It's not always going to involve money, but ways of meeting people's needs. The Spirit of God inside of you wants you to be kind and wants you to be known as a kind person. Scottish pastor and biblical commentator Alexander McLaren said, "Kindness makes a person attractive. If you would win the world, melt it, do not hammer it. Melt it with kindness." What about the whole motive thing? does that really enter into it? Must kindness be entirely altruistic? No possible benefit coming to me at all? Is that the only way we can be kind? Now, clearly, we're not to do our kindness to be seen of men. Jesus made that perfectly clear. Let me read a few verses from Matthew 6. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Thus I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward it." But Jesus also said this in chapter 5 of Matthew, "You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Don't be seen, let it be seen. What's the difference between the two teachings? Well, the first one from chapter 6 is doing your deeds for the purpose of being seen and gathering that glory to yourself. Now, can you imagine that situation he describes here? Some guy comes with a handful of coins to the temple or wherever, and he's about to put them in the gift box, and he has a guy there with a blast of the trumpet, drops in one. Now, I wonder if he did a trumpet blast for each one. You know, he probably put them in one at a time, because he certainly didn't want to, you know, if you were giving five, he didn't want people to think you were giving one. So, what a rigmarole. All to gain glory for me. So Jesus says, he doesn't just say, don't do that. He says, beware of that. It's a dangerous thing. Something always to be avoided. Beware of those who give to be seen of men. Now the second teaching from chapter 5 has the glory of God at its root. Be kind and helpful and shed the light of Christ around you. And when you do things in His name, the glory of Christ is being shed abroad, and people ministered to are more likely at that point to give glory to God, and that's good. So continue to do good. If people see it, it's okay. But don't do it in order to be seen. If you do that, you make your motive bad. You know, it's that hey, look at me kind of thing. No. Be aware of that. But continue to do good. And that kind of giving that he condemned in chapter 6 really has no worth before him. There's no heavenly reward coming for that kind of work, because you got your reward now. People applauded what you did. Now, if you feel good and exhilarated for doing a kind deed, count that as a double blessing. You blessed the other guy, perhaps shared Christ with him or something too, and you go away feeling good. That's just simply a double blessing. It's good. You blessed him, and you come away with a blessing. All of this has to be rooted in the kindness of God. There's a kindness of common decency that we've all experienced. It's important for us to live together peacefully. But what Paul is talking about here, as I said before, is a work of God's Spirit. Remember that kindness is part of the fruit of the Spirit that he reveals there in Galatians. It goes beyond the common and should stand out as a marker for those who are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Paul wrote to Titus, again from chapter 3 that we read some of before, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We've been saved by the goodness and mercy and kindness of God. Or as Paul says here, His loving kindness, which should probably call to mind that word we've often pointed out in the Old Testament, hesed, that covenant, faithful, loving of God toward us. Now, this salvation, as he says here, is not on our own works and performance, but rather that of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. His life, death, and resurrection is what accomplished salvation and redemption on our behalf. Now, we are then indwelt by the Spirit of God because, again, God has been kind to us. Peter makes this astounding statement in 2 Peter 1. "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires." He called us by His goodness. Goodness and kindness are almost synonymous. Then he says, because of that goodness or kindness, we get to participate in the divine nature. That's not some Eastern oneness sort of philosophy there of mysticism, but we're united to Him in some way. We don't fully understand it, but God's kindness takes us who were slaves to sin and unites us to Himself and grants us standing with Him forever. Now there's real kindness. He called us by His own power and goodness. God is good and has been good and kind to us over and over again. He came to us in our desperate need. Sometimes we have an inkling toward kindness, but we see a certain situation and we say, wow, that need is overwhelming. I'm not going to get involved in that. That's going to suck up 3 months of my life. And we refrain from kindness because the need is too great. He came to us in desperate need. While we were still sinners, He came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and carried our sins to the cross, and He died paying our debt to God's justice. Kindness really doesn't seem to be a big enough word to describe what God has done for us. It's infinite kindness, infinite goodness. So let's meditate on His kindness every day. Pray for it to be be powerful in your own heart and life. Pray that this aspect of love would kind of burst forth from you by the Spirit's power, and you'd be a blessing to all those who cross your path. But the focus first has to be on Christ and His kindness to us. The more we focus on how we're doing, the greater the tendency will be to crank up that human kindness and call it love or even the work of the Spirit or something. But by doing that, you open the door for that works for show stuff that Jesus condemned. Just keep your focus on Him. What do we do? We find ourselves where we are today. What do we do to make things maybe a little bit better? Well, as we just said, and as we pointed out last week, the first consideration has to be, what has God done for me? We saw His patience last week, and now His kindness toward us. It must be the power behind what we do. Jesus took every unkind word, every unkind thought, every unkind action that you committed and died a hideous death in order for you to be forgiven, so that you can enjoy the kindness of God today. Being kind, in a way, it is a way of showing the kindness of God to others, and we're called to that. Olivia Fortin wrote on the Geneva College blog. I never heard of her, didn't know that Geneva College had a blog until I came across this, okay? But here's what she said. If you have a blue sheet, it's a fairly long quote. If you want to follow along in the blue sheet, it's there. If kindness needs faithful practice every day, kindness also requires intentionality. Now, I'm not saying that we should never do random acts of kindness. Oftentimes, kind acts are on the spot, in the moment, and unplanned. However, we must be intentional. Either plan specific acts of kindness or plan for the random. Be ready to do good on the spot. Kindness is not when we feel like it, or a random act here and there when we happen to think of it. Kindness requires a seeking out, a looking for the needs of others. During His life on earth, Jesus was a perfect emblem of this fruit of the Spirit. For 3 years of ministry, He looked toward the needs of others, never turning them away. He could be counted on. How often today do we miss opportunities to show God's love to others because we're too busy? We rush here and there, leaving the needs of others in a blur as we whiz past. Slow down. Open your eyes. Jesus took the time, and you should too. Slow down. Make the time and look for the needs of others. Be intentional in showing kindness. Be consistent. So, let's be diligent, intentional about our kindness. Look for opportunities. Grab hold of those opportunities as you're able. Be willing to move beyond your comfort zone. Go out of the way to be kind. The Lord Jesus certainly went out of His way for you. As we said last week about impatience, why not make it a habit to seek forgiveness anytime you have been unkind? It'll help remind you to be kind. Just make it a regular habit to seek forgiveness when you've been unkind. Teach it and show it to your kids. They will not be kind naturally. They're born in sin and need to be taught kindness. The best teacher is your own example. So it's quite simple. God loves us, and therefore He has been patient and kind with us. Being the recipients of His love and forgiveness, He commands us to love others. That is, to be patient and kind toward them. Be kind as He has been kind to you. Let's come to His table.